In looking at Jehovah's Witness, there is a very, you could say, elaborate history of lies behind every cult. Mormonism, after looking at it, is probably the most complicated. Jehovah's Witnesses are a little bit behind it. Now, tonight, as we look at this, let me just give you a couple of things, and then we're going to try to dive into a Bible study. I'm tempted to skip over it because I've preached on subjects like the deity of Christ, Jesus is God, how important it is, but we've never in our church done a Bible study on the deity of Christ for your sake. I hope this benefits you as a soul winner. And then if you listen to me, if you'll touch on these verses, the confidence it gives you in soul winning, you'll never, look, what we're going to cover tonight on Jesus being God in the Bible, you would cover that with a Mormon. You'd cover it. I'm starting to cover it. Brother Miller and I were out. I had to cover it with a Roman Catholic. This subject is something, we're just going to touch the hem of the garment. But as far as it is becoming more and more, you'll cover it with Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, you'll cover it. You'll definitely cover it with Islam. You'll cover this subject. It is a doctrinal issue, but your ability to turn in your Bible and show that Jesus is God is a very, very basic help in soul winning. So as we look at it, before we get into it, in their doctrinal stuff, it just helps everybody to know there's only one way of salvation. It's the gospel, and the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. God tells us that. Everybody is saved the same way, regardless of their religious affiliation. In other words, I don't care if you are a Jehovah's Witness. You'll get saved the same way I did. I don't care if you are a Roman Catholic. If you go to heaven, it'll be because you get saved the same way everybody else does. There's only one way of salvation. Amen? The most important thing we do, can you take your Bible and go to Luke 21:14-15, is be led and filled with the Holy Spirit as we go. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Go to Luke chapter 21, Luke 21, and look at verse 14 and 15. When you start hitting cults, everybody gets nervous and they're like, oh, what happens if they ask me this question? Or what happens if they ask me this question? I'll make a statement to you as a pastor. It might do some of you well to just get embarrassed. You get embarrassed one time out there while you're talking to somebody and they ask you a question you can't answer, you'll study. And you won't study like, where? You'll be looking for the answer you choked on. Amen? A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I've been ashamed several times. One time I was out and my mind totally drew a blank. The lady, she'd been a Jehovah's Witness for 8 years. And my partner was here. He was a new soul winner. I'll never forget it. She Pac-Man'd me. Pac-Man, wagga, 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 wagga. And me, I was going. When we left there, we went back to the car. That was the last time I was embarrassed talking to a Jehovah's Witness. Because you know what I did? After soul winning was done, I went and I studied my Bible. Some of you it would, oh, but if they ask me this and I don't have the answer, sometimes that's good for you. You're not going to know all the answers anyways. But let me give you a pressure release, regardless of who we're talking to. Luke 21, these are some beautiful verses that I hope you mark in your Bible. And watch this. Look at verse number 14. It says here, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Isn't that a pressure release? So tonight we're going to look at verses. Do you have to memorize all of them? No. It would help if you were associated with them. But Jesus said, quit worrying about it. Study your Bible, pray, and when the time comes and it's time to witness, I'll give you a mouth and wisdom that they will not be able to withstand. Just yield to the Holy Spirit. It's the most important thing we do when we represent Jesus. Amen? So, I'm saying that as a precursor of getting into this Jehovah's Witness stuff or next time when we talk about Mormons. Think about this. My pastor showed me, don't argue with someone who knows more about their religion than you do. Why would you get into an argument with a... You should... Now, the Bible says in two places. As a matter of fact, let's go to one of them. Ready? Go to 2 Timothy 2:23. Go to 2 Timothy 2:23. There's two references in the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23. I wish you were comfortable enough with your Bible that next time you find a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon, you'd go, ooh, there's one. I'll go get him. And you go up and you just ask the basic question. Look, there's so much they don't believe in. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe in hell. They don't believe... Just ask them anything. Hey, if you died, where are you going to spend eternity? Heaven or hell?
I don't believe in heaven. It's paradise and there's only 144.
Okay, fine. Wherever you got to go, what do you got to do to get there?
Well, there's four things. The first thing you have to do is recognize God's the Father.
Okay, hey, has anybody ever shown you from the Bible how to go to heaven? Did you know Jesus died for you? He was God. Trigger statement.
No, he wasn't. He was God.
Get into it. Pull out your sword. Shing. We always called it sharpening our sword. Here's what you shouldn't do. You'll learn something in soul winning. If you're out soul winning, knocking on doors, it's one thing if you're hunting Jehovah's Witnesses. You know what I mean? But if you're out knocking on doors and a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door, you'd be better off finishing your soul winning and saying, I'll be back in a little bit. Because here's what I've learned. I've been at a door arguing for 2 hours, stopped because I ran out of time. And the following week, I picked up where I took off, and the door right next to it, somebody just was waiting to get saved. So don't let an argument, listen closely, feed your ego to the point where you've got something to prove. You say, how do you know? I've done that before. So I just confess, okay? There's some basics. Look at the verse where Jesus says this. Look at 2 Timothy 2:23. Ready? 2 Timothy 2, verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. When they're out, look, if they want to get saved, that's the one God's working on. But if they're out to argue, well, yeah, but did Eve have a belly button? And where did Cain get his wife? And all these stupid questions that if you could answer, it wouldn't do anything for them. You need to learn how to recognize that type of stuff and say, you know what? I like what my soul-winning partner used to say, Brother Jim Hart. Listen closely. Guy'd start arguing with him. This is what Jim would say. He'd say, I already know what I believe, and I already know what you believe. And I didn't come here for you to show me what you believe. If you'd like to go to heaven, by the Bible, I'll show you what I believe. But I didn't come here for you to teach me the Bible. God sent me to you to teach you the Bible. I would watch him. That was just, you know what? He was wise in how he could recognize an argument. Because I'm telling you, Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they're taught how to debate. They're taught to feed the fire. Well, yeah, but if they hit you from this angle, then you come around. That's why the old question goes like this. Why would you argue with somebody that knows more about their religion than you do? If they want to argue, they don't want to get saved. It's time to move on. Amen? Now, if you're out and you're looking for them, your soul winning's done, and you're looking to sharpen your sword, and you're needing a little, whew, we used to do that. I don't do that anymore. Well, I'll show you some other stuff. There's Titus 3:9 is the other one that says, don't argue. Learn to recognize the arguments. Finally, deity of Christ. Now, here's some basics before we get into this, and we'll start turning places in your Bible. Arianism was started by Arius, who was born in 250 AD and was a priest from, look at that, Alexandria, Egypt. Wow, everything bad comes out of Alexandria. He was the first person to deny the Trinity. You could call him the first Jehovah's Witness. False religions have always denied that Jesus is God. For the past 2,000 years, it's a basic element. The first thing they teach is Jesus isn't God. It's been that way a long time. Jehovah's Witnesses are only 150 years old. Jehovah's Witnesses only go back 150 years, and I'll show you that here in just a minute. Now, the deity of Christ, understanding the false teaching of Arianism, that would help you. There should be a few verses you're familiar with concerning the doctrine of the deity of Christ. Now, here, before we get into this, you know what? Go to John chapter 1. If it takes more than 2 or 3 verses, then you can plant seeds, be nice. But if it takes, Pastor, there's 30 verses on this sheet. I'm just telling you, if it takes more than 2 or 3, they don't want to get saved. Do you understand? You can plant a seed, but if they've been a Jehovah's Witness for, in my 33 years being saved, I've led two Jehovah's Witnesses to the Lord, and the group that we'll hit next with Mormons, I've never led a Mormon to Christ. They're harder. The stuff they're taught and what they're even harder. But they have to, if they've been a Jehovah's Witness for 14 years, you know what you can do? You can show them some verses and plant some seeds. And if they want to get saved, the lady that I led to the Lord, she had questions. It's just like this. When you meet a Roman Catholic that's tired of the Catholic Church, doesn't understand how come they got to confess their sins to a priest, doesn't understand all the questions, how come we do this and how come, those are ones that are waiting to get saved. Yes, they've been Catholic their whole life. Same thing with Jehovah's Witnesses. When they've been that their whole life, sometimes you just, they're either ready to get saved or you're planting seeds. Amen? You're planting the Word of God. John chapter 1. Ready? Look at verse 1. These are very basic verses. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same with, okay, everybody see the capital W? That's Jesus, right? If you combine verses 1 through 3, the Word was God. That's telling you Jesus is God Almighty, right? Let's finish verse 2 and 3. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Who? The Word. By Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus made everything. If you combine verses 1 through 3, and now go to verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh. So the Word was God, verse 1, and the Word was made flesh. Very helpful verse. Where you're going to get into problems is, you have to understand, the Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New World Translation, they changed verse 1, they changed their whole Bible to match their doctrinal failures, you could say. So they'll say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, a small g God. And you'll say, your Bible's wrong. This was, your people changed the Bible to match what you all teach. So your Bible's wrong, and I've come across that. That's verses, go ahead and go to John 5. Go to John 5. You're in the book of John. John chapter 5. Look at verses 17 and 18. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. I'm sorry, here verse 17. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Now watch the verse closely. Because he had not only broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So there's three places in the book of John where they went to stone Jesus before he was crucified. Three times, okay? And I believe it's John 5, 17 to 18, John 8, 23 and 24, and then, I'm sorry, 58 and 59, John chapter 8, and then John chapter 10, verses 30 to 39. The three times they tried to stone Jesus before he was crucified was because each time he said, I am God. Now, when you read verse 17, my Father worketh hitherto and I work, does that sound like Jesus is saying, I'm God Almighty in the flesh? It doesn't to us, does it? But the Jews knew exactly what he was saying. You just made yourself equal with God. We'll kill you for that. That's what needs to be shown to a Jehovah's Witness. You don't read verse 17 like they did. They knew Jesus was saying, I am equal with God. All right, now let's look at one more. Look at John chapter 8. Go over a couple of verses. And look at verse number 23 and 24. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath. Isn't that something? Jesus looks right at him and says, y'all are from hell. Isn't that strong? John chapter 8 is the strongest correction, and you could say John, the whole chapter, is the one of the hottest arguments that Jesus ever gave to the Pharisees. It's hotter than Matthew 23. But he says, you are from beneath, look at verse 23, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. And then notice verse 24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that, there's two words that should be underlined there, I am. If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. Everybody know what the I am is a reference to? Exodus chapter 3, right? When God told Moses, tell them the I am. My name is I am. In your book of John, there's seven I ams. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I'm the good shepherd. There's seven of them. Seven times in the whole book of John, Jesus says, I'm God. Here in chapter 8, he says, unless you believe that I'm God in the flesh, you'll die in your sins. Unless you believe that I am he. Go to the end of the chapter, John chapter 8, look at verse 58 and 59. He does this again, which is wonderful. Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. There it is again. Jesus is saying, I have always existed. I've always been. I am God the Father. I am eternally God. Before Abraham was, I am. And then remember that verse about the stoning? Look at verse 59. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. That's the second time. We're not going to go to John chapter 10 tonight, but let's go to 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. We're doing this Bible study to help your soul winning. 1 Timothy 3:16. I like what one old preacher said. You ought to be so comfortable in your Bible that you don't mind who you meet out there. Mormon, he used to say this, Mormon, bring it on. He'd say, Islam, bring it on. Back then, you don't meet a whole lot of them now, but Pentecostal tongues, bring it on. You think you can lose your salvation? Bring it on. I got, I mean, he'd say, I got my gospel gun loaded. I'm going to shoot every one of them. You ought to be comfortable. This is one issue, one topic. The deity of Christ. It's very important. It's all through the Bible, but you should be comfortable enough that it's like, no, I've seen it for myself in the book. I know. If you want me to help you, I can. So you're at 1 Timothy 3:16. Here's a verse that I have used. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Capital G. In the New World Bible translation, in the Jehovah's Witness Bible, the small g is turned to the capital G is turned to a small g, and they do a lot of things to diminish. You say, whenever I show this to a Jehovah's Witness, and I do, I've always said, because see, here's their argument. They're going, yeah, but I don't know how one person can be three. And I said, one of the words in 1 Timothy 3:16 is mystery. Well, yeah, but I don't understand. I said, you're never going to understand it. God says you won't. Why are you trying to? The only thing you're supposed to do with the Trinity or the Godhead is believe it. But you, to understand it, I said, my God's bigger than me. My God is so big, I can't understand him. I'm finite. He's eternal. I have an end. He has no end either way. He always has been. Why are you trying to understand something? Just believe what God said. God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God. That's 1 Timothy 3:16. Hope the two words, mystery, helps you. That's important. Now go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. I don't think you need to get smart or hard with them. I do tell the Jehovah's Witnesses this. When they're in my neighborhood, see, they're pacifists. And like I asked one Jehovah's Witness one time, I said, okay, what do I got to do to get to your paradise? What do you all believe? And I was really, I'd never heard a Jehovah's Witness say it. This was the first thing he said. He said, you said you were in the Marine Corps? And I said, yes, sir. He said, you have to denounce that you were ever in the Marines because God's not for killing anybody. And I said, show me that in the Bible. And he goes, well, that's what we believe. I said, show it to me in the Bible. And you can't. We got into it. This was right behind his car. Reason I'm telling you this is when I talk to a Jehovah's Witness, I'll tell them when they're in our neighborhood, sometimes I'll knock on my door. If I have time, I'll go out on the porch. And I wanted to show you in this. Second John says, don't let them in your house. Ever. I've witnessed to a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses, but when they're there, and a lot of Mormons, when they come to the door, I get my Bible and I go outside. God says, they're never supposed to come in your house. You can read that for yourself. Second of all, when they visit, here's what I've told Jehovah's Witnesses, because they're pacifists and they're wimpy, okay? I'll always say, I'm a born-again child of God. I don't appreciate you in my neighborhood. Those are my neighbors. That's my neighbor, and that's my neighbor. This is after I've witnessed to them, and they don't want to get saved. And I always say, I don't appreciate you in my neighborhood, because if my neighbors believe what you're spreading about a false Jesus, they're going to go to a hell that you don't believe in, but they will when they get there. And by the way, you will too. I want you out of my neighborhood. These are my neighbors. I've done that twice. And thus far, they leave. Because they're pacifists. They're pacifists. So I've told them, once I'm done, and they're like, blah, 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 the watchtower, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. I said, I don't want you in my neighborhood. This is my neighborhood. I witnessed to those people across the street, and I've witnessed to them. I've witnessed to them, and I've told them the truth. And I don't want them believing your junk, your lies of the devil. Okay? It's good to know. Be careful. Don't do that before you witness to them. Amen? Tell that to every Jehovah's Witness, because preacher does. I've done that twice, okay? I've done that twice. Here, Hebrews 1:8. Ready? Watch this. Hebrews 1:8. Watch this carefully. But unto the Son he saith, stop. So God's talking to the Son, right? Does everybody see that? Unto the Son he, God, saith. What does God say to the Son of God? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So God calls the Son God. Does everybody see that? Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God. Isn't that beautiful? Nice, simple. Simple verse. That should be all that it takes. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Let me show you the eminence of what you're teaching and of the truth of the Bible. 1 John chapter 2. Jesus came to teach you the difference between things that look Christian and things that aren't. Jesus didn't come to teach you the difference between a human sacrificing Satanist and a born-again child of God. There's things out there that are so subtle that look Christian, call themselves Christian, and Jesus gave us his word so that you can tell all the subtle differences. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. It says, who is a liar but he that denieth Jesus is the Christ? Jesus means Savior, right? What does the word Christ mean? The anointed one, God in the flesh. The Savior is the Christ, or the God who came from heaven. And if they don't believe that Jesus, the Savior, is God in the flesh, God says they're a liar. Watch. It says here, he is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Notice verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So God says in the Bible, if you deny that Jesus is God, you don't have God. What I'm telling you, and sometimes I'll tell them this, it's a Jehovah's Witness, what I'm telling you is so important. If you don't get this, you're going to die and go to hell. You have to believe this, or you don't have God. Everybody see that? Those are very... they're wonderful basic verses. We're in 1 John. Now go to chapter 5 and look at verse 7. 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 7. We've learned that this is probably one of the strongest verses in the Bible for the Godhead or the Trinity. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Wonderful verse. Look at verse 20. You ought to have a little line. Draw a circle around 7 and draw a line to verse 20. Let's read verse 20 because the end is what I want to show you. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his, watch, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. It shouldn't take, that's why I'm telling you, this is for somebody to not believe that Jesus is God. And what you're going to learn with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I'll try to share this with you, they tell you that they're going to have a Bible study, but they don't. They bring in the Watchtower material, and they study Watchtower material, and they'll just lightly reference to the Bible. But what you're studying is what they teach about the Bible. You're not studying the Bible. You're being constantly programmed with what the society says and what the organization says. But those verses, if all you did was went to 1 John 2:22 and 23 and 5:7 and 20, there's enough dynamite in there to blow that heresy to back to hell where it came from. Amen. Okay? Let's go to Revelation 1. Because here's, sometimes they'll ask the question, you know, where did Jesus ever say that I am God? That's what they ask. Show me the verse where Jesus says, I am God Almighty. Where's the first place I'll take them? I'll take them to John 8, except you believe that I am He, you should die in your sins, right? Then I'll take them to John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then they go, Where did Jesus say, I am God Almighty? Look at Revelation 1:8. Ready? Here we go. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. You ought to have two words underlined in your Bible. The Almighty. Where did Jesus say, I'm God? Right there. And folks, this should be all that it takes, right? If they want to get saved, I'm going to show you a few more, but I don't know how I can get plainer. One person said, but the Jehovah's Witnesses, they come to my house and they study the Bible. And you know what I did as I went through 1 John 2:22, 1 John 5, 7, and 20? Here's what I kept on saying. I kept on saying, let me show you something they'll never show you. I said, do you want to see more Bible verses on things they'll never show you when they come to your house? Tell you what, I kept every verse I hit. I said, here's something else they'll never show you. I said, here, let's look at a whole chapter they'll never show you when they come to your house. Take your Bible, and they did. You go ahead and go to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, and wanted to just touch on this with you. Isaiah 41, look at verse 4. Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. Okay, Jesus said the same thing in Revelation, right, where we just read, right? I'm the beginning, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. That's Jesus right there in verse 4. Take your Bible and look at Isaiah, look at chapter 48. I'm sorry, 46, chapter 46. How many times you got to read here in Isaiah chapter 44. Chapter 44 is where I want you to go. Look at verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. Look at the end of verse 14. Chapter 44, 45 verse 6 and 44 verse 6. Look at 44 verse 6. Look at 44 verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no God. There's Jesus, again. He's the only God. We read 45 verse 6. Look at the end of verse chapter 45 and verse 14. Do y'all see the word surely? God is in thee. Do y'all see the word surely there? And there is none else. There is no God. Look at the end of verse 18. I am the Lord, and there is none else. You say, why is that important? Because Jesus said He was God, and there is no other God. God said, I am the only God. All others are false gods. All others are false gods. Look at verse 21. Ready? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. Look at verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. There's none else. You hit all of these verses, all right, where Jesus said, I'm the first and the last, I'm the beginning and the ending. We did that in Revelation. I love making this statement. The God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament, is the Lord Jesus of the New. They're the same person. They're the same person. One more here. We have covered quite a few. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I've told you before, if you were reading your Bible just from Genesis and you didn't know anything about the Bible, the first thing God wants you to know when you read the Bible is He's your Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the same first chapter, God says, I want you to know that I created you, and now let me teach you about myself. Look at verse 26. Ready? It says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Three personal pronouns where God refers to Himself in the plural person. Where God says, why would God say, let us make man in our image? We're a three-part being. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God made you a body, a soul, and a spirit. You were made in the image of God. Amen? So one of the first things God would show you in the Bible is that He is plural. He is the Trinity. He is the Godhead. You learn that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Just so you see it again, look at chapter 3 and verse number 22. Go to Genesis 3, 22. Okay, this is after Adam and Eve sinned. Watch this. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. There it is again. Genesis 3. Let's look at it one more time. Go to chapter 11, verse 7. Now we're at the Tower of Babel. This is right after, a couple hundred years after the flood. Genesis 11, verse 7. Go to, let us go down. So there's the first three times. It happens again in Genesis 19, 24, in Isaiah 6, 8. God says, who will go for us? So everybody see that? That's not a one-time thing in your Bible. God says, I want you to know me I am in the plural sense. Now, why would I show you all this tonight? I want it to help your soul winning. I want you, you'll share what I just gave you. If you'll mark some verses in your Bible, you'll use that with not just Jehovah's Witnesses. You'll use it with Mormons. You'll use it with the United Pentecostal Holiness Church, UPHC. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. Unitarians don't believe in the... It's typical, it's been that way for 2,000 years. A typical belief of a cult is that Jesus isn't God. If you want to get into some of the spiritual cults, Scientology, Baha'i Faith, any of those, here's what they say, Jesus doesn't matter. Okay, it goes into a whole new level of denial. I'm just telling you, for them to recognize Jesus as God, it's basic to salvation. Okay, basic in your Bible. Now, let me close with this tonight. Listen closely. God says as you learn about God, you learn what He delights in. I didn't think we would turn there tonight. I just wanted you to listen to me. Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24 says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me that I am the Lord. And then listen, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. When you study your Bible on who God is, God says, I want you to know me, but you only know me through the Bible. You don't know me through your feelings, your emotions, or your experiences. You know me through the book. And God says, the more you study me, the more you'll learn I'm an eternal God, but my loving kindness and my justice, my judgment and my mercy, God says, I want you to learn of that. Listen to this. Listen to what God gives you when you let Him teach you about Him in His Word. Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. That's why somebody said, what'd you study at church? Theology. What's theology? Theo, God. Ology, the study of God. We learned about God tonight and what God says about Himself. And when you do that, you're strengthened with might, the Bible says. You're strengthened with might. The more you learn about God from His Word, the more confident you become as a Christian. No, let me tell you about my God. He's not the God of your imagination. He's the God of His Word. Amen? He's not something that you created with your brain. He's something that's always been. How about this? How about this verse? Listen closely. 2 Peter 1:2-3. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. The more you learn about God from His Word. Listen to this. I'll read you three verses out of Hosea that mentions the price for not knowing God. Listen to this. Hosea 4:1 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land." How come God's upset? Because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. God says, "I'm angry." That's Hosea 4:1. Hosea 4:6 says this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You know what hurts Christians is when they don't know the Bible. No false religion should intimidate you. You should love your Bible and be close enough to God. It's like, no, I know what, I don't have to learn about it. I already know it's a lie. I know the Bible. Amen. I love the Lord. Here, listen, one more verse. Hosea 6:6 says this. Hosea 6:6. "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice." And listen to this. "And the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." You know what God told Israel? He said, "You blew it because you put an emphasis on all the sacrifices." He said, "That wasn't what I was wanting. I wanted a relationship with you. I wanted you to know me, who I am." And what's sad is the Jehovah's Witnesses, they'll tell you, I've talked to Mormons. I'll say, "The Jesus you teach and the Jesus I preach from the Bible are two different people. Your Jesus isn't God, and your Jesus can't wash away sin. My Jesus is God, and His blood washes away my sin." I said, "You need to repent and change your mind about what you believe so you can get saved, or you're going to die and go to hell." I know you don't believe that. You got to tell them all that. "Well, we don't believe in hell." And I said, "I know you don't." I said, "But you're going to." I said, "You're going to believe every word of that book one day. You either do it now or after you die." I highly suggest you do it before you die. But you're going to believe every word of that book. This got us started. We had to touch on verses on the Trinity, on the Godhead. Not just for Jehovah's Witnesses. You'll use this for any false teaching. It's been around a long time. But now that we've laid a foundation, next time we'll look at, I'll show you Jehovah's Witnesses, I'll show you their history, and it's not the lies are unbelievable. How they've changed what they believe over two, not the Bible, they've changed what they believe and what they declare over 200 times. Just since 1889, when they got started, they've changed, and I'm not kidding you, they'll declare this, and then 30 years later, they'll declare the opposite. I'll show you that next time, just as a confidence, and you can see what a horrible lie it is. And we'll close with this. I hope it helps you have compassion. They're deceived. There's over, I believe, the number of Jehovah's Witnesses right now. I think it's somewhere around 30 million. 30 million deceived people that believe that. I hope this is a help to you. Let's pray. Father, please, we want to learn about you and be more usable because of what we learn. I know that this isn't...